Belinda Audio presents this unabridged recording of Wings Above the Diamantina, written by Arthur Upfield and read by Peter Hosking. When Boney asked him if he had heard the noise of a passing aeroplane or the explosion that occurred at Emu Lake when the monoplane was destroyed, he shook his white thatched head. Where did Ted Sharp go that night the aeroplane was stolen at Golden Dawn? Eh? You heard what I said, my dear Ned. Oh, Ted Sharp. He took a run across to Mitchell's Well. Well, that's strange. A moment ago you said that you were the last to visit Mitchell's Well, and that you did so before the aeroplane was stolen. The kindly face was troubled, and a child could have seen that Ned was lying and that he was a poor liar. When Boney spoke again, his voice was low and friendly. Now look here, Ned. I'm here to carry out an investigation. As you know, a young woman is lying very ill in at the homestead. I suspect foul play. What Ted Sharp did that night doubtless has no bearing whatever on my work here, but it is just possible it may have. I want the truth from you. Where did he go that night? If I tell you, you won't tell the boss. Boney hesitated, then slowly he said, No, if his absence had nothing to do with my case. Well, it hasn't anyhow, Ned said, faintly triumphant. As a matter of fact, he rang me up last night before you and the boss arrived, asking me to say that he went across to Mitchell's Well if anyone asked. You see, he took a short trip to Gurner's Hotel to get a bottle of whiskey. The boss is dead nuts on any booze being brought onto the run, and he'll roar like hell if he knew that Ted had gone to the pub. Oh, so that's it, is it? Why didn't he tell me that and have done with it? How long was he away? He left about 9 and he got back about 1. You won't put him away, will you? He's a good sort, is Ted Sharp. No, Ned, I will not do that, and you need never let him know that you told me. Well, you can rely on me for that, Boney. If all the ruddy Johns are like you, this blinking world would be worth living in. Half an hour later, a bunch of horses came streaking for the yards, with a yelling shut-eye riding behind them in the swirling dust they raised. The sun came up, a blood-red, enormous disc, to hang a while above the line of distant scrub bordering the long, narrow stretch of open, broken country of low sand dunes and clay pans. The sun's rays stained light red the ceaseless gush of water falling from the inverted L-shaped borehead situated some 600 yards northeast of the hut. Less than a quarter of a mile west of the ramshackle structure and its guarding pepper trees ran, north-south, the Emu Lake fence, westward of which outstanding patches of scrub merged into a dark green mass. "You want good flash horse along me?" Shut-Eye asked, when he had yarded the hacks. Boney smiled. "Not today," he replied, a little regretfully. "We will want the quietest horses of the bunch for today's work." Ned had 1-pound slabs of grilled steak waiting for them, and he cut slices off a yeast loaf and filled the pannikins with tea. After breakfast, 3 quiet horses, quiet for Queensland horses, were saddled, and to the saddles were strapped quart pots and lunches. The 3 trackers walked the horses to the gate in the Emu Lake fence, and from there they rode towards the lake at a jog trot.